his little tape recorders. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Morning. Happy to be back. So the first thing I want to start out by saying, and I say this every year, and I mean it sincerely, is that I want to thank the, you know, Mankato, the city of Mankato, the university here, the people that are involved in our training camp. This is a great place to have camp. I've been at camp many different places, and this is my seventh year here. And, you know, I really like coming down here because it's, you know, it's a great campus, and there are a lot of good people. But, you know, we kind of got a captured audience with our players, and it's been obviously a good week or so because we started with the rookies a few days early, obviously. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's a great place to have camp, and I'm excited to be back, and you got, you know, about another week and a half to go.
Mike, how much are kickoffs going to play into the kicker evaluation once you get into the preseason games?
You know, I don't think you ever want to sacrifice points for a great kickoff guy. So if the competition's close, it'll come into play. It'll be a factor. If, say, Kai is way ahead of Marshall in field goals, then I think you got to go with Kai. And Kai's a better kickoff guy than people give him credit for. He did a pretty good job for us last year. You always want a strong-legged guy. But again, Kai's better than he was a year ago, in my opinion. Marshall's a strong-legged guy. Marshall's, you know, his task is to be more consistent on field goals, and Kai's to be continually be consistent on field goals, and of course, extra points for both of them, and then be better on kickoffs as well.
Mike, what do you see out of competition right now?
Well, you know, Ryan's got a lot of games under his belt. He's the veteran guy that's been in competition before. He's won jobs. He's lost jobs. His strength is his consistency, and that's what he's got to rely on, and being a great directional punter. And Taylor comes in. I mean, if you guys see him, I mean, yesterday, I think three of his four punts in the team period were over 5 second hang time. Now, sometimes he outkicks his coverage, but he's got a big time leg. So they're each a little bit different. One's a little bit younger and stronger. The other one's got the veteran in him, and he's a little bit more consistent. So that's their strengths and weaknesses, and obviously they want to work on their weaknesses and continue to be consistent with their strengths in order to win the job.
Mike, to the untrained eye, it looks like Taylor is out punting, but is that just the big, you see a big punt?
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, that couple things come into play there, Mark. First thing is directional punting. We play 9 games indoors, including Detroit, and I think we need to have a better directional punting unit, and I think we could be more effective at protecting punts and covering punts if we're better at direction. So that's going to be a big emphasis. And you don't always like the 60-yard punt with a 4-4, 4-5 hang time. Those are when you outkick your coverage. Like me, when I got married, I outkicked my coverage. My wife's a lot better than me. So that's the comparison there. But at the end of the day, we're looking for net punt. And if we can net 44, 45, 46 punts with a guy that can put it outside the numbers with, you know, great hang time, that's what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for the 80 or 70-yard punt with a 4-5 hang time. One was 57. I think it was 4.8, which is okay. The other one was 57, was 5.1. That's a little bit better, obviously, a little bit higher hang time. But I'm looking for 55.0, 45.45, somewhere in there outside the numbers.
In terms of the punting battle, then also maybe you can add to it the kicking battle. How are you going to do it during the preseason? Are you going to have, like, one guy punt one game, one guy kick the next, or what exactly?
That's still in work, and I've got to talk to Coach Zimmer about that. That's ultimately his decision. But what I've done in the past with guys that have had competition is they just take turns. They got to be available. They got to be alive. They got to be alive the whole game. So, you know, they alternate every kick, every field goal, every punt.
So, you know, some guys might want to get in the rhythm of a game, but you'd rather just do it alternating through
the
game.
Well, to me, a game, you never know. You could kick a field goal or an extra point in the first quarter and not kick another one until the third quarter. You could kick a punt in the second quarter and never, not again until the end of the game. So, to me, in the NFL, you've got to be ready all the time, all 60 minutes.
Mike, you mentioned Taylor's lack of experience. How much have you worked with him on technique and tried to change things? And then typically, how long does it take for a guy to get that consistent?
Yeah, any young kicker or punter, they wouldn't be in this position if they didn't have some ability, a lot of ability. With these guys, I like to make suggestions about their technique and work on certain drills that kind of brings out the things in their technique that they have to change or correct. Taylor's done a really nice job. He's got phenomenal as a holder compared to a year ago. 2016, we had him in the rookie minicamp. He couldn't hold. He had never done it before. So a lot of technique involved there. But in terms of his punting, I think we just make suggestions and let him kind of figure it out, because he's got to believe in what he's doing. But the great thing about all these guys, including Kai and Ryan and even Kevin McDermott, they're all very coachable. They want to learn. They want to get better. And so we tape. And you guys see the handheld camera with me all the time. If you guys pay attention, well, O&D is going on. The fun stuff's going on in field three over here with the kicking and punting and the handheld camera and trying to get better.
You were able to replace a first-round kickoff returner with another first-round kickoff returner. And now you don't really get that opportunity this year. How difficult is it going to be to replace Cordarrelle Patterson?
You know, I've answered this question before. You don't replace Cordarrelle Patterson. I think he's one of the most unique athletes that I've ever had the opportunity to work with. What you do is you find a returner that's going to be very, very good, whether it's Jerick McKinnon, Rodney Adams, Marcus Sherrill, Stacy Coley, even Dalvin Cook. And, you know, the coach teased me about that the other day, because over the summer I mentioned that I'd like him to use him there. And you know, if he's not running the ball a lot, I'm going to, you know, jump up on the table for the guy. But, you know, you want to use the best players that are available. And, you know, Dalvin's got ability, but they all have ability. And, you know, we believe in what we teach technique-wise with our front line, with our back line. We believe in our schemes. We believe in how we attack people. We've been successful there, not only because we've had great athletes, but because we've had guys that believe we're going to be good on that unit, and they go out there and execute.
Adams and Coley both have a lot of experience doing kickoff returns in college.
Who's this?
Adams and Coley.
Yes.
But it seems like, at least early on, they were kind of struggling catching punts. What's the difference between fielding a punt and fielding a kickoff?
I think kickoffs on a normal day like today or even indoors is much easier to catch kickoffs, especially the end-over-end type of kick. The thing with Rodney is he had never caught punts in games. Stacy did it early in his career, so he struggled a bit, and then he got hurt, so we didn't see him most of the spring. He's really come along in the last week. Rodney's come a long way catching punts. He's done a much better job since the spring. We were laughing yesterday because we get that close-up camera and talk about technique, and all the punt returners and kickoff returners come early to my meeting at night for about 15 minutes. We go over that tape, just the little fine finer points of tracking punts and kicks, tracking how to catch a kick over your, you know, going to your left, going to your right, all the different drills that we do, and tracking kicks and punts as well. So punts are much harder, much more difficult, because you're never going to get, you know, it doesn't always turn over. Sometimes the nose is coming down this way, sometimes the nose is coming down that way. So those are the things that we have to work on.
Do you see Adam Thielen's role in special teams change at all this year?
Yeah, I think, well, I tease him because he got paid. He's not going to play teams anymore, but he's a guy that we can rely on. He's been a very, very good special teams performer here the last few years. And I told him yesterday, so whenever I need him, he's got to be available. So he's in all the meetings. He's trained. He's ready to go. And when you dress 46 on game day, some of those guys that play a lot on offense and defense are still going to have to be available for us.
What are the challenges of finding the holder then when these guys are competing in another position?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, again, if it's like the kicking situation, if the field goals are similar, we're going to go with the stronger kickoff guy. And the punting, if the punting is similar or close, we're going to go with the better holder, if that makes sense. But we're not going to sacrifice. You know, we're going to have a decent holder versus a great holder. If the decent holder is a much better punter, then we got to get the decent holder better, if that makes sense. So that's my job to make sure that gets done, and the kid's job, whoever wins the job.
Are the two holders just the two punters the only holder candidates?
No, I mean, Adam Thielen can hold. Let's see, the backup quarterbacks have held before. Case has held before. Taylor's, we've used him in practice before. They'll be trained as backup holders once the season starts.
But your preference is Jack or Potter?
Yes, because they work together all the time, and they're both very good athletes, so they should be able to do it at a high level. And Ryan's been a good holder in his past.
How does their holding technique change when they're working with two different kickers?
Yeah, it's, the how do you catch it, how you put it down, and how you turn it, it's all the same. It's the tilt that's a little bit different. Each kicker has their own idiosyncrasies on how exactly they want it tilted, and Marshall's a little bit more straight up and down, and Kai's a little bit more towards the holder. So that's what they got to work on. When they look back, they got to make sure it's either, you know, one or number two, whoever's back there. That's something they got to change.
How much has the kick return become marginalized because of the rules?
Well, I think kickoff and kickoff return has changed obviously over the years because the last couple 3 years when they did change the rule, we put a bigger emphasis on punt return because of that. But there's still going to be opportunities. You know, we go to Green Bay and the wind is bad. We go to Chicago and the wind is bad. We go to other places and they can't. And maybe the kicker doesn't have a good enough leg to put it out of the end zone. We're going to be very, very aggressive like we always have been in returning kicks. But, you know, you're right. It's not as big an emphasis as it was when they did kick off from the 30.
A lot of
lot of times when Patterson was back there, you had to worry about them kicking it short intentionally, so you put some other returners back right in the kickoff. Has that changed this year, do you think?
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, anytime you're good at what you do, and we hope to be good again at kickoff return, and people, in fact, we're working on today the different things that people do to us when they cover our kickoff return, putting safeties at different spots and running twists and all that stuff, and we should be able to handle that stuff because we work on it all the time. Do we put other guys that can handle the ball back there? Sure. I mean, our two halfbacks, both of them could be backup returners, you know what I mean? So you just got to be ready for any type of kick, no matter what game you go into.
Who is leading the kickoff return
job? I think Mark is too early to tell. I mean, Jarek's hurt right now. I'd like to give him an opportunity. Roddy's doing a good job. He's getting better. You know, Marcus has told me he's durable enough to do both. He's a very prideful young man. So, you know, we'll see as the games get going. I think that's going to work itself out.
Does Marcus have a comfortable backup if some of the other guys don't pan out?
I don't think Marcus, I mean, for a lot of teams, he'd be the starting kickoff returner. You know, over the years we've had, you know, like we talked about, we've had Percy Harvin, we've had Cordero Patterson, and Marcus has been their backup. Marcus could be the guy this year because he's so talented. I don't think he's a NFL backup kickoff returner. I think he could be a starter in this league. There's not the only reason with him would be is because of his size, you know, because I don't want him to get beat up. Kickoff return sometimes, I mean, punt return you can take some shots, but he's so good with his vision, he can see that. Kickoff return sometimes you take some big shots in there, and he's a very valuable gunner, he's very valuable on kickoff, so using Marcus a little bit too much would be my only fear with him. But in terms of like if it was Rodney Adams doing both or another guy that could do both, then I'd feel comfortable doing that.
Some of the younger guys like Caleb Jones and Trelawney, we have said that they haven't played a lot of special teams before but have learned a lot so far. Does that make it more difficult, or is there an aspect to that that is an advantage for you so that you can kind of teach them how you want to?
Well, I've taught guys that have been really good special teams players in college that have been very well coached, that are experienced, and I've coached guys that have no idea when they come into the league. And if they have the right attitude, if they love the game of football, if they, you know, if they're talented enough athletically, then we can utilize those skills and strengths. And you know, I love working with these young guys. It's like that every year. Most of the time I'm prepared to work with a young man that has no experience on special teams, and if he does have a little bit of experience, that's even better.
How hard is it to take offensive skill guys, and teach them how to tackle and come down and take the right angles when you don't have a lot of time to really do tackling?
We do a lot of drill work all week long we've done, and today I'm taking out a kickoff period, and we're putting in an 8-minute tackling circuit drill with everybody, all the core special teams players, defense and offense, with the emphasis on offensive players. You're exactly right. We need to work with those guys. We'll do the same thing. Hopefully it'll go well today. We'll do it again after the first preseason game. We're just going to keep emphasizing and talking about it and drilling it and making sure they understand what a good tackler looks like in the NFL. Because that is hard. That's a challenge. You good? Thanks a lot, Greg. Great to see everybody.